Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Walter Dean. It's very, very interesting how
the people that we think of in the music world as the future, they have to be the present to be able to get to thinking about the future. And Lane is one of those people who's going to be around a while. You can't miss going to see this fantastic performer, because she is worth seeing, to be perfectly honest with you. She brings on her arrangements, first of all, are fantastic. And to go one step further, she has such a presence when you see her perform. We're gonna listen to another one of her songs, and let's hopefully that the computer will allow it to happen in an expeditious way, and let's see what happens. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Don't you agree, at least partially with me, how wonderful this woman is? She plays a beautiful piano, but she also has that certain musical voice that creates a mood. Most people find it very difficult to create such a nice melodic sound. It's very, very difficult when you come in contact with somebody like that and they're not involved with any kind of jobs or anything. They're just there. But I just want you to hear her. We're going to go on to another performer, somebody I think that you really will enjoy. Just listen up.
Join the circle of life at the Lion King. Experience the world's number one musical. Don't miss your chance to see the Lion King, one of the most Thank you.
Sorry if you can't appreciate words being spoken in Spanish. I don't have the faintest idea what the woman is saying because I don't speak Spanish myself, but the sound that she's providing is very entertaining. Alma Cante, the Nusa Alma Cante Trio, and the Samba de Varela is the name of the song. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly or incorrectly, but the woman has a nice sound. She's very different, and I don't know whether or not we deserving to play another one of her songs, but yeah, I like to go on to a song that Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66, is one of some fantastic musicians. I'd like to hear something that they, what happens is, sometimes we play some of the new artists and forget about the newer ones. But let's listen to Sergio Mendes called The Fool on the Hill.
What their favorite kind of music is, and you will get 12 different answers. Now, here's a group that combines everybody's choice, plus their own Latin American beat, Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66. Sergio, welcome to the show, and welcome to London.
Thank you, Tom. Maybe one day you'll come to Brazil and do my show in Rio de Janeiro.
What a great name for a city, Rio de Janeiro. Does it compare with London in any way?
They are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Except for the language, the buildings, the people, and the food.
Okay, so you just think, huh?
Bow, bow, bow. Not just in the first place.
Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66, and guess who was singing most of the lead for that? It was Tom Jones, the late Tom Jones that passed away last year. I never knew that, I know he had a lot of talent. I mean, it was plain to understand and know that he had that certain talent, ability to transform himself into just about any one level he could feel like doing it. In any event, that was Tom Jones, because most of the time we heard him say, "What's New Pussycat," some other songs like that, but they were more commercially oriented. But this is a sort of a Latin American kind of sound that came from Brazil. And that particular sound is a sound that often we just think of it only as in some foreign language and probably don't pay that much attention to it. But, you know, it still has a jazz kind of structure to it. And what we're going to do is now, and we're going to listen to another gentleman who I think has been the test of time. He's still with us. It's in his 80s right now, but you would not believe it. So let's listen up.
I think I finally figured it out.
Next, trumpeter Herb Alpert. Life in Harmony.
Alpert's trumpet has been his horn of plenty for nearly half a century now. Among other things, it's won 8 Grammys. With tonight's Grammy ceremony just hours away, Herb Alpert plays host to Russ Mitchell for the record.
Beautiful line. Cloud formation, you record, it's like a picture. I mean,
yeah. If you've ever wondered what it means to be living the good life, consider Herb Alpert.
It's pretty magical. I mean, I must admit, it's like we have this endless backyard, you know? Why, we can see Russia from here. Well, not quite.
We can
see Catalina.
Since the early 70s, the famed trumpeter's home has been 6 stunning acres on the beach in Malibu, California.
Well, this one's not in bronze. Most of the other ones are in bronze.
He designed the house and gardens himself. Has his own recording studio. And all those beautiful sculptures, Herb Alpert originals.
I'm intrigued. But what makes something engaging to look at? I'm looking for rhythm. I'm looking for motion.
But let's put all that aside for a moment, because any story about Herb Alpert has to begin with a horn. For a generation of listeners, the sound is unmistakable. The Latin-flavored smooth jazz of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
As Davis said, you hear three notes, and you know it's Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
Where does that style come from?
It's just the real me. I'm not affecting anything. It's just the way the sound comes out. You know, one of my teachers used to tell me, hey, man, you're just playing a piece of plumbing. That's how he describes a horn and trumpet.
That piece of plumbing has served him well. 6 top 10 hits, 8 Grammys. His unique South of the Border sound selling more than 70 million albums. Quite an accomplishment for a shy Jewish kid from East L.A.
My father was born in Russia, from a little town outside of Kiev. My mother was from Lower East Side of New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Hispanic, and I know a lot of people think that
I'm not Hispanic. Herb Alpert's not Hispanic?
No.
The Tijuana Brass?
No.
He picked up the trumpet at age 8 and never put it down. But he didn't discover the sound that would make him famous until his mid-20s, while attending a bullfight in Mexico.
Tijuana had some world-class matadors. And then this trumpet section in the stands, you know, they would announce the different programs, the different events in the bullfight. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I got kind of chill bumped from all that stuff, and I tried to translate the feeling of those afternoons to a song.
The Lonely Bull was a top 10 hit in 1962, and with the money it brought in, Alpert and a friend, Jerry Moss, decided to produce the next album themselves. Alpert and Moss formed the now legendary A&M Records. During the next 3 decades, A&M would release more than 30 Herb Alpert albums. 1, Whipped Cream and Other Delights, was as popular for the cover art as for the music.
She was covered in shaving creams,
ruining the fantasy.
I know.
You see, this guy,
in 1968, he had a number one hit as a singer. A popular TV show, The Dating Game, used his tunes as its theme music.
What are your good friends calling you?
What my good friends call me? Baby.
He even had his own primetime specials. Meanwhile, A&M Records was growing into a powerhouse, handling some of the biggest names of the era. Cat Stevens, Peter Frampton, and Janet Jackson, among others. But there was one band Herb Alpert discovered that was closest to his heart.
Well, I signed the Carpenters in 1969 or 1970.
It was Alpert who convinced Karen and Richard Carpenter to record the song that would make them superstars.
When that song happened, all of a sudden, I turned into a genius to the people.
Close to You was, of course, a smash. But the Carpenters' career would end in tragedy with Karen's death from anorexia at age 32. Nearly 30 years later, her memory still haunts him.
I loved Karen. She was a wonderful lady. She was... I think about her. Seems so unfair. She was great.
Do you remember the last time you saw her?
Yeah, I do remember the last time I saw her. But, I mean, the irony is she never realized how great she was. She never really accepted the fact that she really had it.
By 1989, Alpert had had it with the music industry. And when Giant Polygram Records made an offer he couldn't refuse, He didn't. Alpert and Loss sold A&M for a reported $460 million.
Came out okay in this deal.
It came out okay, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the secret?
The secret?
Yes, yeah, secret to a happy, long marriage.
Communication.
Since then, Alpert and his wife of 37 years, singer Lonnie Hall, have been doing, well, whatever they want.
Laughter.
Yeah.
Romance.
Yeah, it's where the magic happens.
This is where, you know, sometimes magic happens, sometimes not.
Wow. Alpert paints and sculpts, seriously. He's at gallery shows. And if you'd like to buy what you see.
From like 200 to maybe 300,000.
Ah, okay.
And all the leaves from the trees are falling.
Herb and Lonnie had it made, and they knew it, so they decided to start giving back. In 1988, they established the Herb Alpert Foundation. So far, they've given away more than $100 million, promoting education in the arts.
Welcome to our home, our musical home in Harlem.
One of his most recent causes is New York's Harlem School of the Arts, a neighborhood fixture since 1964. Last spring, hard times forced the school to shut its doors. 3,000 miles away, Alpert read about it in the newspaper.
Herb woke up one morning and saw the headline that the school's going to close. And he said, that can't happen. And they wrote a check for $500,000.
Just out of the blue?
Out of the blue.
Yeah. Charles Hamilton is the school's chairman.
Without Herb Alpert, this school would be closed today. We owe that. We owe a great debt of thanks to him for that. So you like jazz?
I like jazz.
Don't with your foot. That's hard to do.
Thanks so much.
We love
you. I am so blessed. And I just feel compelled to pass it on. This is what it's all about. It's just been very fulfilling. And I just walk through this facility and talk to the people involved. It's chilling for me. I know this sounds a little corny. I get it. I dig it.
No matter where his interests take him, all roads lead back to the trumpet. Herb and Lonnie have just released a new CD and are heading out on a cross-country tour. So if you want to know what Herb Alpert's been up to since his heyday so many years ago, he's been playing music, painting, sculpting, and helping others fulfill their dreams. In other words, living the good life.
We'll see a couple of whales, a couple of porpoises.
I think a heron.
Wonderful. I thought it might be very interesting allowing you to hear an opportunity. You see, most often when people hear about Herb Alpert, they think of him as being Hispanic. And you had an opportunity to hear he was part Russian. It's a little so far removed from that level of reality, but the music that he gives and provides has that Spanish touch. I've always found him to be really a contributor to the music field. I mean, when I say contributor, what I'm saying is this man's sound is so different. You don't have to worry about him, a person not being able to understand who it is. And so, we're going to move on and we're going to talk to a singer by the name of Lonnie Hall. So let's give a listen.
Growing up in Chicago, the neighborhood that I lived in was a lower middle class neighborhood. I slept in the dining room till I was 14 years old. It was a very volatile household. And consequently, I spent a lot of time on the streets. Singing was a way for me to release what was locked up inside of me. So it wasn't that I liked to sing, it was that I had to sing. And unfortunately, I found that root, you know, very young in life. And that's when Sergio Mendes played at Mother Blues. I had no experience whatsoever. And to be a part of that, just to be validated actually as a singer by him, was beyond anything I could have imagined. And then Herb asked me to leave the group because we were a couple, and you can't have a relationship if you're not there.
And the granny goes to you, Lonnie Hoss.
My beautiful husband, Herb Alpert.
The Grammy was an exit from one life to another. I was sick for a long time. Turned out there was nothing they could do. And I just couldn't accept that. I couldn't accept there was nothing I could do to feel better. So that was my beginning, the beginning of my journey in bed writing longhand. I was talking to my manager at the time, and, you know, just to kill time, he started asking me about my childhood, and I told him this story. And he said, you should write that. You should write that down. That's a good story. The book is of 10 short stories, 7 fiction, 3 nonfiction. It is a running narrative of a memoir. A lot of my protagonists are women who are searching for their identity. What happens to you when you get lost? And how do you find yourself? And since you're constantly changing as a human being, what defines you at any given time in your life? The name of the book is Emotional Memoirs and Short Stories.
I thought it might be very interesting to let you hear something from the wife of Herb Alpert. Most often, all of the credit is given to the man for his uniqueness and his ability and skills, etc. But for a long period of time, for 30-some years, that was mentioned it's now 40-some years ago, that they've been married. And she started out on her own with Sergio Mendes and made a tremendous contribution to the music world, and then had to give it up because, you know, her husband said, you know, hey, you know, like, I need you with me. It's kind of, yeah. No relationship lasts when people are away from each other. I don't care who you are. The relationship will go through a traumatic change. And that's one kind of change that most people don't like to embark on. We're going to leave this topic, but I just wanted you to hear what his wife had to say. In comparison to him saying something himself. And so that was the wife of Herb Alpert. And we're going to go on and listen to some now, who one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time, as well as creator and arranger. And I'm speaking of the great Joe Sanford. Thank you. great show samples from an album called Carmel. I think he was in his mid to late 30s when he recorded that particular song. When I listen to Joe Samples, I'm listening to genius. I don't think he thought of himself as a genius, but those of us who have been around the mulberry bush a little bit know the difference in the creation of something that he provided. What a great musician that we had living with us at one time. This is too bad he's no longer with us. We're going to stay with him because I think it might be appropriate for you to hear some more stuff that he's done. Thank you. Originals of the jazz group called the what are they called? Jazz Crusaders, I think, from Houston, Texas. He and a saxophone player got together and they put together this group that we now know as the Jazz Message, not the Jazz Message, but what's so remarkable about it? Joe Samples is his down-to-earth feeling about how he expressed it in his music. It was just so simplistic, but at the same time, very, very creative and most unique. We're running out of time. By the way, this is Dr. Gene, and you're on the program called Getting It Done. There's a young man that you definitely got to hear or go see. This kid is 15 years old. No, he was 15. He's 17 now, but when he recorded this, he was 15 years old. His name is Joey Alexander. You got to hear this kid. This kid is so remarkable because I have stuff that goes back to when he was 7 years old. This happens to be something 10 years later. What a fantastic musician. And one of these days, hopefully I myself will get an opportunity to see this guy. He's such a remarkable musician at a very early age. So let's give a listen to Joey Alexander called Countdown Fort. That's at the studio. Thank you. That's Joey Alexander with a piece called Giant Steps in a studio performance. This is Dr. Walter Dean in a music call program, Jazz Wise, called Getting It Done. And Joey Alexander is going to take us on out for the next minute. Dr. Walter Dean, you've been listening to Joey Alexander and Giant Steps, and next week we'll feature Joey Alexander so you can really get a good understanding of what this man is capable, or young man is able to do. Until then, have a good weekend.